Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, what's good,
wait, hold on.
What's good, y'all? I'm Ja, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 78.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, be sure to check us out at our website, KnicksTake.com, with all kinds of blogs. We got a shop. We got merch, which French kind of previewed earlier in the setup. And much, much more is going to be coming. Just make sure you keep your eyes on that.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, please share with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
And now the show. All right, as we do normally, we're going to go through a brief outline of what we'll be talking about. French usually says, it's going to be a pretty quick podcast today.
It's not going to be a quick one, yeah.
It's probably not going to be quick, but we will try. We'll try to keep it under 60. We're going to go over the games. Knicks played against the Boston Celtics, the Detroit Pistons, and the New Orleans Pelicans, and finished off against the Golden State Warriors. Then we're going to have a discussion about whether us Knicks fans should be worried. And then we're going to finish off, as we normally do, with the preview of the upcoming games. And now let's start at the top with the Knicks facing off against
the Boston Celtics. So, go ahead.
So, Knicks faced off against the Boston Celtics Saturday, February 24th. As we said last week, the Knicks are not healthy. Knicks are missing some big guns. I predicted that the Knicks would lose. And someone else, who shall not be named, said that the Knicks had a shot to win this game. And the Knicks put up a pretty good fight up against the Boston Celtics for the first half. And then the third quarter happened, and then the lead ballooned for the Boston Celtics to double digits. And then it ballooned some more in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Knicks fought a little bit, and they lost 116 to 102, which is kind of how I expected it to go. French, now that we have lost again to the Boston Celtics, do you have any fear now of them when it comes to the playoff time?
No. They have not faced off against a fully healthy New York Knicks team. And the Knicks have shown that they've been able to keep up with them even when they're playing at their best. I believe in the first half, the Celtics were shooting, what, like 60%, 70% from the field? And the Knicks were only down 3-4 points. Down three starters. I feel like when it's time for the playoffs to start and we have OG Anunoby, who's going to be able to give either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum more of a challenge than Dante DiVincenzo was able to, or who was the primary guard? I don't even remember. Josh Hart. He's definitely going to be, it's going to be harder for Boston to shoot 60, 70% when we're a fully healthy team. When Mitchell Robinson's back, Julius Randle's going to be probably guarding one of them. So I don't feel like there's a reason to have fear based off the games that we've played, because the Boston Celtics has not seen the Knicks that is going to be in the playoffs.
My pushback for you is that the Boston Celtics are fully capable of playing a five-out offense, which means all five players can be around the three-point line and be a threat. And the Knicks do not have a five-out defense where all five of the guys can be trusted to defend out there.
They have lineups where they can.
They do. A fully healthy Knicks team will not be using those lineups.
In the playoffs?
Now, if we go into the playoffs and one of Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein is not able to give it a go, then we will play those lineups. We will play those lineups because we have Precious Achiuwa. But I don't anticipate a fully healthy Knicks team is going to be giving Precious Achiuwa valuable playoff time against a Boston Celtics team, unless one of those two guys, because the Knicks have six starters, right? Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, you can switch those two guys out, but they're both starting centers. They've both proven to be starting centers. And if they're both healthy, that they are a six starter team. You're not putting Precious Achiuwa in and taking minutes away from those guys, despite how well he has played as a Knick.
So, I disagree. But okay. we'll have this argument every episode because we just got to wait and see, because I've seen Tom Thibodeau take Mitchell Robinson out when he's not playing well, or coaches are known to make adjustments in the playoffs. Maybe we haven't seen it from Tibbs, but we've never seen Tibbs where the rotation is deep.
If he pulls Mitch, that means Hartenstein is going to play more minutes. If he pulls Hartenstein, it means Mitch is going to play more minutes. That's how it's generally gone. They both play about 24, 25 minutes in a game.
We'll see.
And that just leaves no minutes for anybody else at that spot. But anyway, let's move on.
Next game, the Pistons showed up for this game to MSG to face off against the Knicks. I believe it's the third time we've played them this year. The Pistons have only won 8 games all season, if I'm not mistaken. And they're tired of losing. And it looked like that this game. They showed up. They were determined to not only keep it close, but they wanted to win. This is the second game that they had Quentin Grimes to play from coming back from that knee injury. Cade Cunningham was balling out. But this game was pretty much nip and tuck all the way up until the fourth quarter, where Quentin Grimes scored his first basket and then ended up with 14 points somehow. Mm-hmm. He came into the Garden and he was trying to win this game for Detroit. He made it a point to show the Knicks that they made a mistake by trading him. He gave the Pistons a lead with a contested layup slash dunk kind of. With like 37 seconds remaining in the game. And from that point, chaos just ensued, because now the Knicks got the game in their hands with it tied up. They were down one. Brunson gets the ball, shoots a three.
Misses.
Quentin Grimes gets the rebound. Mm-hmm. Saves it from going out of bounds. Kicks it to Asar Thompson. Asar Thompson tries to run down court, gets tackled by Dante DiVincenzo, loses the ball. Mm-hmm. Who picks it up? Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. Drives to the paint, kicks it to Josh Hart, who gets an and-one layup. Mm-hmm. Gives the Knicks the lead with 1 second left. Misses the free throw. Knicks get the rebound, kick it to Josh Hart again. He gets fouled again. Makes one, misses the second one. Knicks win this game by 2 points. I'm watching Quentin Grimes this whole fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn. He's looking kind of good out there.
He was looking more than kind of good out there, actually.
And the guys that we traded for with Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic, they weren't having great games. So watching this game, you just like...
The first thing I was like, I've been told by various media outlets, and I think I was even told in this very podcast that this was a great trade. Mm-hmm. And French, how can this be a great trade when the New York Knicks faced off against the worst team in the league, who they traded with, and the guys that they traded for didn't play down the stretch of this game, and the guy they traded away played the entire fourth quarter. How can this be a great trade when you play against the team that you traded with, and one of your acquisitions plays so poorly that he had to be taken out of the game within the first couple minutes, and the other guy has to be pulled because the guy that you traded for him shoots a three, he fouls him, and now he has to be pulled out of the game because you've just given the other opposition three free points because of your poor defense. How can this be a great trade? Not a fine trade, which is what I said was fine. A great trade.
Because the objective of this trade was to get strength in numbers. You got that. And it's not going to show with the regular season games. Maybe the Pistons have the worst record in the NBA right now. But the team that they had that night is not the same team that they've had all season. They had additions with Quentin Grimes. Even Evan Fournier was playing good for them. He hit a three, and Quentin Grimes was helped lead them with Cade Cunningham in the whole fourth quarter. They didn't have that all season. They had Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic, who were efficient scorers, but Cade had 32 this night. He had help from Jalen Durant, who's been injured all year. Like, I understand that they're a bad team, but they're not as bad as their record shows. And just because it's a close game and Quentin Grimes has a good game and Bojan and Alec Burks both have a bad game, it doesn't mean that this is a bad or not a great trade, because this trade was meant for the playoff push. When we get to the playoffs and we have a fully healthy roster,
they're not going to play.
They are going to play. They're going to be off the bench, and they're going to be helping win playoff games. And then I'm going to revisit this question again, and we're going to see if this is a great trade. Because Quentin Grimes is going to be at home or in some type of island somewhere while the Knicks are in the second and third round.
I haven't heard an answer to the question. I've heard a lot of excuses.
I gave you an answer. This trade was meant for the playoffs, not for a regular season game against Detroit Pistons for you to judge it.
So let me... No, actually, we'll talk about it later, because we have the segment later about whether the Knicks should be worried. And part of my response and questions have to do with Bojan and Burks. But I understand the point that you're trying to make. And I also know that that may not be how it ends up. And if that's not how it ends up, then this is not, you can't even say it's a fine trade, right? The things that you just said, explain to me why this is a fine trade. You said the reason for that is this. Okay. There's more than one reason that we traded for them. One of the reasons is for when we go to the playoffs. The other reason is for right now. And can you say that for right now, this stretch after we've traded them, that the Knicks got the better of the trade in terms of on-court play?
Can't judge a trade
in the few weeks
after. Can you give them time to get ingratiated into the offense, into the defense?
There's two reasons. One of the reasons is for the playoffs, which is still under review. The other reason for the trade was to make it to the point where Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, and Mitchell Robinson come back, and so that you can tide things over until then, the Knicks can maintain their spot in the standings while those guys are gone. Yes, you can judge this trade based on that, especially for this game, the Detroit Pistons game, which the Knicks, if they are fully healthy, it's not a game. And if you bring in guys to kind of help you win the game, and you damn near lose the game, maybe should have lost the game if things are called differently, you have to objectively say that on the first part of this trade so far, it is a failure, which means that it's not a great trade. So far, the height of what it can be is fine.
I'm not saying it's a failure.
I just said that. It's not a failure. I'm saying the first part of it is.
It's not. The first part of it is still to be determined.
We'll discuss more later.
Okay.
Next up, the New York Knicks faced off against the New Orleans Pelicans Tuesday, February 27th. And as a result of the Pistons game, Jalen Brunson got a little dinged up. He woke up that morning. It was the second half of a back-to-back. And he woke up with neck spasms. He couldn't get rid of them. He tried all day to get ready for this game, and it just was a no-go. Also noted, Isaiah Hartenstein was listed as out with a sore Achilles. And had we known that that was going to be the way that it was going to be in the second half of a back-to-back, both me and French would have probably said the Knicks are going to lose this game.
Not probably.
I'm only saying probably because I don't know if you would have said the Knicks was going to win.
Well, I'm letting you know, once I saw on my phone Jalen Brunson is out, Isaiah Hartenstein was out, you know what I did?
You went and made plans for...
to go to sleep. And that's exactly what happened. I tried to watch it on the MSG app.
It wasn't happening.
They wasn't letting me go through. They said I had to pay the $10. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to just get the blanket right here, and then I'm going to just get ready for work tomorrow.
Right. So as we probably expected, once we saw those two names were out, the Knicks did indeed get blown out 115-92. This is exactly what we'd have expected, unless you believe that Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanović were going to step up and help the Knicks keep this close, which I never really believed that. So, yeah. Maybe if it was a great trade. Anyway, any thoughts on this?
Who could we have traded for that was going to help us get this win?
Is there anything about this game that you want to talk about?
Nah. I didn't see a single highlight from this game, to be honest with you. So we could just go straight on to the next heartbreak, which is the Golden State Warriors coming into town February 29th. The Knicks, they didn't look like they was ready to start this game because this is on the back end of a two-game back. It was a back-to-back, right? Am I making that up?
You're making that up.
All right, so the Pelicans game was a back-to-back.
Yes.
So Thursday, the Knicks started off this game against the Warriors very, very, very poorly.
Yes.
Not being able to score a single basket within the first 5 minutes of the game. They went down by like 15 points early, spent the entire first half playing catch up. Mm-hmm. After halftime, the Knicks cut it to like 4 points. And after that, Golden State basically just put their foot on their throat and took control of the game. It was a wire-to-wire victory for the Golden State Warriors. The Knicks lose 110-99. Brunson finished with 27, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. And that was pretty much all you can really say about this game.
That's all you got to say about that?
To be fair
to the Knicks did actually make it a 4-point game in the fourth quarter. Like, they did fight, but that opening stretch was pretty poor.
Brutal.
They sort of repeated that in the beginning of the third quarter. And nobody could really hit shots outside of Deuce McBride and Jericho Sims.
And a representation of that can be shown in Josh Hart's rebounds, where he had 18 rebounds as the starting small forward for this team.
He's been rebounding the hell out of the ball.
Like, yeah, he has.
Like, if you look at his rebound numbers over the past, I don't even know how many games, mm-hmm. but he's been double-digit rebounding, which is amazing for, a big, mm-hmm. let alone somebody who's 6'4".
Yeah.
Shout out to Josh Hart. You know,
I've been very
tough on Josh Hart this year, but I feel like he deserved the toughness because I felt like he was getting a pass just because he plays hard, which is great. I love that he plays hard. I never wanted Josh Hart on any other team, but I just didn't think he was playing. He played good for large stretches of the season, and I felt like he was getting credit for being on the court while Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein was out there killing it, and he was on the court too. But now that those guys are gone and he's needed to step up, he had a few games where it's just kind of like it was obvious Josh Hart is not doing Josh Hart things. Mm-hmm. But since then, he's been great. And shout out to Josh Hart, man.
Yeah, shout out Josh Hart. He almost had a triple-double. He had 7 assists this game, too. 2 steals.
Yeah.
He played all out. He almost played 50 minutes this game, too.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to Josh Hart.
All right.
Bojan had a horrible game. 0 for 7, 0 for 4.
Well, speaking of Bojan, we're at the point of the episode where we do the Knicks topic of the week.
Okay.
The Knicks take of the week.
Okay.
And it is... are you worried yet? You can answer that question first before I go on to the smaller parts of it. Are you worried? Is there a smidge of worry in you?
I look worried.
You look like you're putting on a brave face, yes.
I am not concerned at all. I know that Alec Burks can be a lot better than what he's shown for us. He's been pretty average, if not below average, since being a New York Knick again.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe once he starts to settle in, there's still a little bit of Detroit smell to this trade when you're watching Boyan and Burks on the Knicks sometimes, because anytime you see Boyan dribble at least three times, you know it's going to be a miss. You want him to be in a catch-and-shoot kind of role, quick one dribble pull-up, like real quick decisive kind of moves when Boyan comes into the game and gets the ball in his hands. And Alec Burks is starting to over-dribble a lot too. And they chucking up a lot of shots that I don't like, but I'm pretty certain that that's just like out of just like the habits that they've developed from this whole Detroit season they've been a part of. And once they start to get ingratiated into this offense, start to spend more time and get some chemistry with their new teammates, even though Burks has been here before, he's never played with any of these guys. Like, he's played with Randall,
mm-hmm.
Noel. Like, he played with all the old guys that's been traded off. Like, even Obi, Quickly, all of them are gone. RJ's gone. So he's developing chemistry with all these guys. He never played with Brunson. Long story short,
let me ask you a question.
Everyone's chemistry gets going, I think this is going to be a real tough team to stop. So
how many games is enough games for you to be like, all right, we've seen what we need to see? 10 games?
25.
15? 20?
25.
25 games. Okay.
30-ish.
So we are almost at, we are more than a quarter way through the 25 games. After the Knicks play the Hawks on Tuesday, the Knicks will have officially played 10 games with Burks and Boyan in the rotation. So it's two more games.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you could maybe say there's been one game where it's actually like, okay, that was a good game from them. Maybe.
At the same time?
No, just in general. Just one game where I could say one of them played well.
Nah. There's been multiple good Boyan games alone.
Good? Maybe Houston, your bar for good is better than mine.
Houston, Boyan came off the bench and was scoring pretty efficiently for us. You forgot about that game when Brunson got that foul at the end. Boyan finished with 15 points, mm-hmm. 7 for 13, 1 for 5 from 3. It was like
okay,
a decent game for a bench scorer. He was the highest bench scorer that game.
Okay,
the second game I'm thinking about with Boyan.
I'll give you two good Boyan Bogdanovic games, which gets canceled out by the zero good Alec Burks games. You could say maybe he had a decent one that was, he had a good on paper game, maybe when he first got here, but outside of that, against the Philadelphia 76ers. But outside of that, we could have probably won that Philadelphia 76ers game without Burks and Boyan, to be honest.
Boyan was 6 for 6 from three. How are we going to win without him?
We blew him out, did we not?
With the help of Boyan. It wasn't like it was a blowout from the second quarter.
Did I say that we were going to blow them out without Burks and Boyan? Or did I say we probably would win that game without them? We probably could have won that game without both of them.
Okay.
It would have been a difficult game, but we could have won it. And the reason that I'm making this point is that they are not producing anything that is going to where you could say, all right, without them, we can't win this game.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
It's another game that I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking of, but I'm seeing Boyan had 20 against New Orleans too. He was the second leading scorer in that game.
You feel like he played very well against the New Orleans Pelicans?
Well, he was the only bench player to play at least 20 minutes, so he must have been playing
good enough. Did you feel like that was a good game from Boyan?
I didn't watch this game, remember? Okay. I'm telling you that, like,
it was not a.
Boyan has shown that he can be a 20 point scorer, maybe not every night, but he can do it when you can need him to.
French, we know that just because you scored does not mean that you played well.
That's a fact.
Okay. So I will be here to tell you that was not a good Boyan Bogdanovic game.
Okay.
They have not been good since the trade deadline. Okay. Whether you want to dispute my claim that they haven't had two good games, all right, that's fine. You can't dispute that they haven't been good. When we discussed Boyan Bogdanovic, I pointed out, hey, he ain't coming in with the defensive acumen of a Quentin Grimes. Mm-hmm. And you tried to sell me that he's an okay defender. And boy, were you wrong. Jesus Christ. That man cannot defend a lick. And, you know, Burks can hold his own defensively, but he's also not been good mm-hmm. on defense. It's supposed to help the Knicks make it until they're healthy. And we have two wins out of the eight that they've played. And one of them probably shouldn't have been a win. And it was against the team that they formerly played for, who seems better without them.
How you say that shouldn't have been a win?
You can probably, I said, you can probably say it shouldn't have been a win because we are, DiVincenzo definitely fouled
on
that ensuing possession. It's not the same as the Houston Rockets blown call, right? The Knicks definitely earned that win.
Thank you.
But if they make that call, it's a hell of a lot more difficult because at that point in the game, they were not hitting shots. They were shooting, they were missing. And if the Pistons get a full possession in that last stretch of the game, they're not going to hit a three.
They wouldn't have had a full possession because they was up one. They would have gotten fouled immediately
if
regardless.
The Pistons would have gotten fouled. Okay. If they hit both of those free throws, the Knicks get a full possession where they have to either score quickly and do the same thing and hope that the Pistons miss, or they have to hit a three, which they weren't doing at that point in time. I'm not saying that it would have been impossible for the Knicks to win if it was correctly officiated. I'm just saying that they were down at that point in the game and they missed the shot and the Pistons got the rebound uh-huh. and they would have had a possession where they could have increased the lead.
Yeah,
which
but
would
the
have
game
made
wasn't
it,
over when that happened.
I didn't say that
they had two chances to get the ball. They didn't get the rebound off the first miss or the second miss of the free throw. So
the problem,
there is no
the
if.
There is if. The if is the Pistons had the momentum at that point in the game and the Knicks didn't have any momentum. Now, credit to the Knicks for grabbing rebounds, for executing, even though the shot wasn't going down. But when Brunson missed that shot and the Pistons got the rebound, the game was over to me. The game was over. And the fact that Dante DiVincenzo didn't get called for that foul is the main reason why they won. It was the main reason why they won. If Ausar Thompson gets the ball, they call the foul, or DiVincenzo doesn't truck him to get the ball, the Pistons are all but guaranteed to win that game. Now, obviously, they have to execute too, but the Pistons at that point in time deserved to win the game. At that point in time.
One point.
The Knicks did what they had to do in order to pull the win out. Congrats to the Knicks. But if somebody wanted to say the Pistons should have won that game, you cannot argue that. What's your point?
Ausar Thompson is shooting 29% from free throws in the last 10 games.
Right.
58 mm-hmm. for the season. Mm-hmm. Just because they didn't call that foul doesn't guarantee anything. He could have missed both free throws. We get the ball and then still win the game. Like
I'm not saying that it guarantees
anything. They had their opportunity.
I'm just saying to you that the Knicks got an advantage because they should have called the foul. They didn't. It's different. It's a different being when you get the ball in a position where the opposition is out of place in defense, and when you have to take it from the other end of the court and the Detroit Pistons defense is already set. Mm-hmm. I just told you that the Knicks were missing shots mm-hmm. at that point in time in the game. They were not able to score offensively. They got those points from Josh Hart because the Pistons defense was not set. It's a harder ask for the Knicks to do what they did if that foul is called. And I just said, me and you agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it would have been impossible for the Knicks to win. I'm not saying that it guaranteed that the Pistons were going to win. I'm just saying that it was hell of a lot less likely. And the Pistons probably should have won, given the way that things played out.
Depends on how you look at it. Because even outside of that call right there, the last 2-minute report showed that Detroit benefited off of no calls more than the Knicks did. So
100%.
That's why I just chalk it up as
100%. But
this win was going to be a Knicks win regardless. Worked for it. They had the opportunity to get the win and they didn't get it.
My point is my point is this. This was a game where if you're going to validate the Burks and Boyan trade, can't do it with this game.
Mm-mm.
Can't. Quentin Grimes willed the Pistons to a near victory. And, the fact that they were pissed off about it, they should have been. Should have been.
But
right?
That's why I'm saying you can't judge a trade this soon. It's too early. Let them get some chemistry first.
Chemistry? How much chemistry did Quentin Grimes have in that game?
What chemistry did he need? He was shooting all those shots.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do you mean exactly? Exactly. They're not going to shoot all the shots for the Knicks because they're not the main scoring options. They're not even the second, the third, or fourth scoring options. They're going to have to be off the bench one of the main scoring options. But how many of their bench guys are going to be closing out the game?
How many Knicks players are supposed to be better offensive players than Burks and Boyan?
Supposed to be?
Yes. On this roster right now, that is not fully healthy.
Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart.
What?
Josh Hart.
Do you believe that? Do you believe Josh Hart is supposed to be a better offensive option than Boyan Bogdanovich and Alec Burks?
Not offensive.
Okay, so you got two. Who else?
That's pretty much it.
Exactly my point.
Tibbs is not a coach who's focused only on offense.
I understand that. But my point is they were brought here for offense, right? You say, okay, Quentin Grimes is taking all the shots. Okay, they also have Jaden Ivey. They also have Cade Cunningham. So there's no advantage there between the Knicks and the Pistons. There's none. The fact that Quentin Grimes went out there and proved that he is an offensive threat and outplayed both Burks and Boyan is a problem. When you gave up a second round pick, when you gave up these other players who are also contributing, if you're going to say that this is a great trade, if you're going to say that this makes the Knicks a championship contender because of how they played, I understand that there's a element of getting familiar with the team or whatever. But when you're playing against what was and still is record-wise the worst team in the league, it shouldn't be this close.
It's not the same team.
It doesn't matter.
Even Malachi Flynn made an impact on this game.
But you're making my point for me. If you won this trade, if this is a great trade, right, this should not be the way that this game goes. And I understand the Pistons are not the same team. I understand that they're a better team. But maybe they're a better team because they got rid of some of these old guys who were getting shots and putting up shots and not playing defense. Maybe they got better because they got rid of Burks and Boyan. Maybe this is not the great trade that we think it is. Maybe this doesn't make the Knicks championship contenders because these guys are going to be the 9th and 10th guys in the rotation. Maybe. I'm not saying one way or another, but I'm just putting it out there that, hey, maybe we should slow down, right? Obviously, I've always been kind of so-so on the trade because of the fact that Quentin Grimes went out for both of these guys. And this Pistons game kind of showed it. These guys have not been great. They have not had a great game. I think we could say they haven't had a great game, and they probably will never have a great game because their only contribution to the roster is on offense. They're never going to be great defenders. Boyan is supposed to be a better salary matcher than Fournier, and the only reason that he is because he actually is getting time on the court. But what happens when all of these guys come back? I have a post coming out, or actually I have a couple posts coming out in regards to Boyan and Burks. I already have a post that's going to be out by the time that you watch this episode about the roster crunch that's coming up once everybody gets healthy. Once everybody's healthy, our sixth man is Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein. Our seventh man is Josh Hart. At most, we're going to have two more spots. Burks isn't outplaying, and Burks is playing worse than Deuce McBride. Boyan is playing worse than Precious. Are these dudes even going to play when it comes down to it? Like, are they even going to play? These are supposed to be the guys who are your seventh, eighth guys. They're not. They might not even be that. They might not even be in a rotation if they keep playing this well. Once we get healthy, you're saying, oh, we got to wait till they get healthy. Once we get healthy, are they even going to play? And if they're not going to play, then what was the point of the trade?
They are going to play.
But how? Who? Ahead of who? Who are they going to play ahead of?
We're going to see. They're going to play because we need
I'm
shooting.
Asking you.
If there's no shooting in the lineup, there's going to be guys like Boyan in the lineup.
I don't want to hear.
There's going to be guys like Burks in the lineup.
I don't want to hear who we're going to see.
Jericho Sims is not going to be playing.
I didn't name Jericho Sims. I told you who's going to be the sixth and seventh guys, and I told you if we're going to go to a nine-man rotation, which we may not in the playoffs, but let's say we do, are they guaranteed the 8 and 9 spot? Ahead of Precious Achiuwa and Deuce McBride?
Probably not.
Okay. So is this a great trade?
I'm not saying that it's going to be a 9-man rotation, though. I've always said that it's going
to
be 10.
What are you going to say? 10? They have to earn 10. You don't play 10 guys in the playoffs, first of all. You do it in certain rounds in situations like that. You're not going to do it for the whole playoffs, which means that there are going to be rounds where these guys ain't going to play, which...
Deuce is probably going to get spot minutes in the playoffs.
Okay, who's gonna play the other spot? Burks?
Probably Burks. Probably, but I think my brother.
I love you so much because you are so positive, and we need that as Knicks fans. We need the positivity and the belief that things are gonna turn out well. But at this point in time, Burks is playing so poorly that if
Precious
he is
gonna take his minutes,
if he is playing in the playoffs. I don't know if I'm going to be upset because he shouldn't be, or if I'm going to be happy because he turned his season around so well. This is the worst part of his season, to be fair, of Alec Burks. But boy, if he don't get it cracking by the time these guys come back, he shouldn't play. He shouldn't have the opportunity to make it to the playoffs because Deuce has outplayed him. You could argue that the Pistons got the best piece in the trade right now.
Grimes, you keep saying Grimes vastly outplayed. He only scored 14 points. He was a -6 from this game.
He scored 12 points in the fourth quarter and forced Bojan Bogdanović out of the game. He played better.
He had a good stretch.
And Bojan hasn't had a stretch. He hasn't had a stretch of a full quarter the same way that Quentin Grimes had in that game.
Okay, he had a good stretch compared to the other two guys. But Bojan had 13 points. He hit the same amount of threes as Quentin Grimes.
Yes.
He didn't play throughout the fourth quarter because there's better guys or options to defend.
Because he can't defend. Exactly my point. Because he cannot defend, he cannot stay on the court. Whereas that's something that you can't say about Quentin Grimes. Which means that you can argue that he is the best piece in the trade because he's the only guy in the trade who can both play defense and be a threat on offense, which you cannot say about both of the guys that we got. They're both great scorers. They are both better threats as a scorer. But if you can get played off of the court by Quentin Grimes because you can't defend, that minimizes your scoring threat.
Let's move on from this because we're going to keep going back and forth.
I think I just won the debate because the record for the Knicks since OG and Randall went down, 6 wins, 8 losses, only mm-hmm. 2 of those wins with both Burks and Bojan on the court. And we have an upcoming schedule where we face the Cavs and Atlanta. Atlanta, who is not going to have Trae Young for the rest of the season, probably. We play Philly twice, which, you know, I haven't heard anything about Embiid being back. So if he's not back, maybe that's going to be 2 wins. We play Golden State again. Hopefully we'll be fully healthy by the time this happens because that's going to be during a West Coast stretch where we're going to face the Sacramento Kings mm-hmm. and Denver. And then we have one more game against Boston. Right now, when you look at the standings, the Knicks are very lucky to still be holding on to the fourth seed. But they have the same amount of losses as the Philadelphia 76ers. They are one game ahead of the Orlando Magic. They are 1.5 games ahead of the Miami Heat. So by the next week, the Knicks could be the 7th seed.
I don't mean to backtrack a little bit. I ain't like that last debate, so I had to look it up. You know what Quentin Grimes had the very next game against the lowly Chicago Bulls?
He was asked the next game. I already know about that.
So you can't give him the credit to being the offensive guy and a defensive guy if he's going to come out the next game and have 0 points. And then the very next game after that, he has 2 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But back to what we were just saying, my fault. You said...
The Knicks could be the 7th seed by the time... uh-huh. we're recording next week.
We could, they could be, but they could also stay put in a position so, right now.
So I'm going to pose the question one more time, and then we're going to move into the previews. Are you worried?
No, because honestly, even in the worst case scenario, we dropped to 7th. What does that mean?
I agree with you. I agree with you here. I knew we were going to get here. That's why I had to fight you so hard, but go ahead.
If we drop to 7th, we're going to be facing off against the 3 seed, right? Or are we going to be in a play-in first?
The 2 seed.
The 2 seed. And the 2 seed right now...
Well, if we drop to 7, we will have to go... We will have to do the play-in. We'll have to face whoever's the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that will be the 7th seed and so on and so forth. But say we drop to the 7th by the end of the season. We stay at 7. We're in the play-in. We face the 8th seed. Whoever's going to be the 8th seed, I'm not worried about in a one-game series. I feel like if we are fully healthy, the Knicks will win and the Knicks will be the 7th seed.
Right.
Which would mean that we would face... whoever's number 2, which I'm pretty sure is going to be
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Are we afraid of the Cleveland Cavaliers with a fully healthy rotation? No. If we beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round, we're going to play whoever wins between the 3 and the 7th seed. That would be, the 3 and the 6th seed. That would be Milwaukee versus,
or Orlando.
Could be Orlando, could be Miami.
Could be Indiana.
Okay. We were talking about, you asked me this question and I tell you, we'll talk about it on air. Are you afraid of either one of those teams, Orlando, Indiana, Miami? Are you afraid of any of those teams in a 7-game series?
There's not a single team in the Eastern Conference that I'm afraid of.
A lot of people are afraid of the Miami Heat. And if the Knicks end up staying in the 4-5 and they play Miami in the first round, if we're fully healthy, I'm still not scared of the Miami Heat. Last season, when we played the Miami, we underrated and we underestimated the Miami Heat 100%. But that comes with the caveat that we took them to 6 games. We took them to 6 games with Julius Randle not being able to put forth 100% effort on both ends of the court because of his ankle. We lost in 6 games because Emmanuel Quickley, the only guy who ran the offense outside of Jalen Brunson, a guy who had been playing healthy all year, was injured in game 5 and was out for game 6. And the minutes that he would have played in game 6 were the minutes that we lost against the Miami Heat. All things considered, Knicks last year could have and should have pushed Miami to 7 games and could have won in 7 games against the Miami Heat. This New York Knicks team is a better New York Knicks team than that New York Knicks team. And this Miami Heat team is arguably probably not better than that Miami Heat team. Am I scared of the Miami Heat? No. Can Miami Heat push the New York Knicks in a first round series? 100%. Do I think that the Knicks will lose? Only way the Knicks would lose to Miami Heat would be if the Miami Heat injures several guys, which you can expect, but that would be the only way. And then if that's the case where the Knicks lose because the Miami Heat injured them in a first round series, maybe media will be, saying, oh, the Knicks can't beat the Heat. We already know what it is. The Heat can't beat a fully healthy Miami Heat team, can't beat a fully healthy New York Knicks team. Indiana, I'm not worried about. Orlando, I'm not worried about, because both of those are one side of the ball teams and not two side of the ball teams like the New York Knicks. And then you got Boston probably in the conference finals, which if we make it to the conference finals, that's a win in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about where the Knicks end up. I would have loved to see the Knicks make it to greater than 50 wins. I would have loved to see the Knicks have home court advantage throughout a good portion of the playoffs. But it is what it is, man. You get what you get. And now, we'll see what happens. All right, let's get through these next few games, next 5 minutes. Let's talk about the upcoming games, French. You're up.
I was counting how many games we got left of the season. It's not that many games
left.
That's crazy. But next game coming up this week, we're going to have the Knicks go down to Cleveland to face off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell's going to be out for this game with rest. So I'm thinking that the Knicks are going to win this game because Donovan Mitchell is probably the only consistent offensive threat that I not fear, but respect on Cleveland. Like, I respect Garland, but I don't think he could take Brunson by himself if they're going to be going back and forth. You know what I'm saying? So I think Brunson's going to kill. Whoever's guarding him in Cleveland, they still don't have a matchup for him. And Isaiah Hartenstein could do exactly what Mitch was doing to Jared Allen in the playoffs last year. So I'm not really concerned about Cleveland. I think we could win this game, even though they're the 2 seed right now. What are your thoughts on this game? What you think?
I didn't even know that Donovan Mitchell was ruled out. Caris LeVert is also out for this game. Honestly, until we see a healthy Isaiah Hartenstein, because he is not playing healthy right now, I'm not confident in this Knicks team's ability to pull out victories while they're so shorthanded. If I had more faith in Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanović, who I'm going to be very fair here, it would not surprise me if one or both showed up tomorrow and had the game of their career or of the season as a Knick. Wouldn't surprise me. But until I see it, there's too many things that I need to see before I could say, oh, the Knicks are definitely going to beat the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Are they going to make it a game? Yes. Are they going to win? I cannot say that unless a few things happen. Jalen Brunson is obviously playing tired. He's overexerting himself. Isaiah Hartenstein is overexerting himself. And they need help from guys who are not giving them help. So I think that the Knicks are going to lose.
Okay.
Did you predict your...
They're going to win.
They're going to win? Okay. Next up, Knicks versus the Atlanta Hawks at MSG at home. Last game of a three-game New York road trip for Atlanta. Did they play Brooklyn twice?
They're going to be playing Brooklyn twice in Brooklyn, and then they're going to come to the Garden.
Okay. I see the Knicks winning. The schedule shows me that the Knicks are going to win. Atlanta is currently playing without Trae Young, which may or may not be a good thing for the Knicks. I don't know. I can't call it yet. I haven't seen enough of games without Trae Young, but I think the Knicks are going to win. I don't think Atlanta is that good. I've never thought Atlanta was that good, and I think that they are bad enough that this version of the Knicks can eke out a victory. I think it's still going to be a tough game, but the Knicks are going to win.
Yeah, the Knicks, they're not happy with the way that they're playing right now. So they're definitely going to come out with intensity this week, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
They match up pretty well with Atlanta, and if Trae Young's not playing, that's a guy who averages 25 and at least 11 assists, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think DeJounte Murray can replicate. He can put up 20 and 10, but I don't think he can replicate the amount of offense that Trae Young normally would be able to, especially his amount of times that he goes to the free throw line to get his points. DeJounte's more of a mid-range kind of scorer. He could spot up from three sometimes, but he's not really a shooting threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could use that to our advantage because we have all our shooters available. That would be the biggest difference. I feel like the Knicks could probably shoot their way out of this game as well as rely on Jalen Brunson. So, yeah, I think the Knicks are going to win this game as well. So that would be 2 straight.
For you.
For me, yeah. You've been
overly positive on the Knicks. The Knicks have been not winning as much as you felt that they're going to win.
It's the same team. You can't let a little stretch of losing taint how you view the team, because the same team that's winning is the same team that is losing these games.
It's not the same team.
It is the same team. Only difference is the guys are injured. It's the same team.
You can't say it's the same team and then say, guys ain't playing. That's why they're losing now. Because it's not the same team. It's not the team that was winning had Julius Randle and OG Anunoby.
Mm-hmm.
This team don't.
They have
most
of the same roster is what I'm saying. It's only a few guys down, and they play well as a team. Every one of these games that we've lost, it's not been blowout losses.
There's been a couple of
them. They could have won some of these games, and some of them were more than 10 points because the team was just too talented to compete against them.
Right.
This isn't the same type of scenario. Atlanta Hawks is not going to beat you with talent. Cleveland Cavaliers, we've matched up with them well in the past, even without Julius Randle. Jalen Brunson dropped 50 on them to end the year last year. They can be beat. Just because they're the 2 seed and they match up well against other teams around the NBA. That's I'm not same. Saying that they... It's not going to be the same as matching up against Boston and Golden State Warriors and Boston, the Pelicans.
You said Boston could be beat too. That was your same Boston, that was your same reasoning for why you picked the Knicks were going to win.
Is there not a difference between Boston and Cleveland?
There 100% Thank is you. A difference between Boston and Cleveland. It's also a difference between the Pistons and Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost lost to the Pistons.
But we didn't lose.
So
a win is a win.
So you have to acknowledge when your argument, you can't just use your argument to prove your point correct and then also, disprove it when it doesn't go for you. The Knicks got blown out by the Celtics. The Knicks nearly lost to the Pistons. The Knicks got blown out by the New Orleans Pelicans. And then we're just talking about this week.
And that's without Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Hartenstein that you're talking about.
We're not even
about with Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Hartenstein, with the guys that are going to be playing this week, they're not getting blown out. The Celtics is the only team that blew them out. That's it. And was Isaiah Hartenstein even playing for that game? I don't even think he closed out that game. I'm saying with the guys that we have now, Isaiah Hartenstein, Jalen Brunson, these guys are enough. That's mostly the same team. We don't have OG Anunoby. We don't have Julius Randle. We don't have Mitch. That's fine. I don't think that doesn't mean we can't win a game. I don't think that means we can't beat the Atlanta Hawks. It's different, but it's not that big of a difference where it's like we have no chance. I feel like we're still an elite team even without these guys.
I'm just trying to point out to you that it's not the same team. And that's it. It's not the same team.
They play the same.
This team that we have lost more games than they've won. Mm-hmm. That's it. We're not. You talking about blowouts and almost wins and all that stuff? Just look at the record. The team that had OG Anunoby and Julius Randle was winning at a great clip.
You think we need them to beat Atlanta?
I think that if you say that Atlanta's going to win, I wouldn't be upset with you. Isaiah Hartenstein is still not 100%. Jalen Brunson is out here not playing the way he was before because he's tired. Josh Hart just played 47 minutes in a game. These things add up. These things add up. So can the Knicks beat the Atlanta Hawks? Yeah. Did I say that the Knicks were going to beat the Atlanta Hawks? Yeah. Does that mean that I feel great about it, that the Knicks are going to come in and take over? Nah. I don't feel great about it. But I can't say that the Knicks are going to lose all three games this week. And the one that I think that they're going to win is the Atlanta Hawks. Because up next, who do they play?
Orlando Magic in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks have not beaten Orlando all year.
And you don't think they're going to win now?
Well, I don't know. I feel like because we haven't beaten them all year, that's why you have to choose that the Knicks are going to probably lose this game. But I wouldn't be shocked if they win. But I'm not going to bet on it.
There's not that much difference in the record between the Magic and the Hawks.
Right.
So you can't be like...
But record don't tell you everything.
Record doesn't tell you.
It's about matchups.
Record doesn't tell you everything.
It nobody about, on Atlanta is like Paolo. There's nobody on Atlanta like that.
Oh, wow. You gobbling on Paolo now?
Gobbling? Paolo's nice. What's wrong with liking Paolo?
I'm ashamed at you.
You don't like Paolo.
I'm ashamed at you. Listen, Paolo's great. He's good.
I'd rather Paolo than a lot of players in the NBA.
Okay.
Paolo's nice.
Listen, the Orlando Magic is a good team because of their defense. It's better than the Atlanta Hawks, which is why I think that the Knicks are going to lose. The Knicks, when they play against good defenses with this version of the team, they lose. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Orlando got big bodies. They play defense. They got a star. I don't view Atlanta the same way.
Right.
Like, I don't respect their big men and I don't respect their defense.
Yeah, I respect the Magic more than I expect the Hawks. So, yeah, all right. We went a little bit over than we thought we were going to go. But
we didn't do an hour.
Very spirited conversation.
Yep.
I was wondering if we could sneak another conversation in here, but we're going to have to leave that for another time. It's one of those conversations that we could have at any time. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for the posts that we have coming on the website on nixtake.com. Mm-hmm. Go check out our merchandise. You can see French started off the podcast showing off the mug. For those of you who are watching the video, those of you who are listening probably are vastly annoyed with the slurping sounds that my brother is doing right now. But anyway, make sure you check us out. We're going to have a lot coming to you in the upcoming weeks. French?
It's popping.
Yeah, anything you want to say to the people before we go?
Yeah, I miss having shows to come and tell y'all about. I'm not going to lie, because I've been watching a lot of new shows, but we're going to have to just save that for like another podcast probably.
Yeah, or we could put it on some social media if you want.
Yeah, we could do that. But with no further ado, we'd like to bid you adieu and thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take podcast. Peace out, y'all.
Peace.
The Knicks Take podcast.
Yeah, what it do?